Welcome. If you find yourself at this time in your life with all that's happening in the world, being in some kind of feeling of being in the eye of the storm, then you are in the right place this morning, because we're going to be talking about that, looking at some ideas and for some solutions, some ways to live there and to live within deeper and go deeper and go above it all at the same time without necessarily avoiding the reality of what's around you. So welcome. We are the Center for Spiritual Living, Midtown Atlanta. We're coming to you live from all over the country, and people are participating from all over the country. So welcome. Glad you're here. I'm in Mexico this week, so having a great time down here in the Yucatan. So if you're down here nearby, shout out. Tell us where you're from. Tell us where you are on any of the chats that you may be watching this on. We are a center that believes in the goodness and truth of everybody, of everyone, of each person on this call, of each person not on this call. We recognize that and we believe in that because we know who you are. We know you are an expression of the divine. And we know that the divine, the life itself that moves through all of us, is the very essence of the truth of who we are. And the rest is us figuring out how to live that in time and space and physical worlds. We remind you each week that such is the nature of life, that all it asks and all it wants is the opportunity to appear. You're the opportunity. So am I. So it is. It's a great truth. It's a great reality. And it's a great way to lift ourselves to a higher perspective, to a broader perspective of life. One of the things that we are all about here is changing our thinking in order to change our lives. And we do that by our belief systems. We do that by our messages. We do that by our faith statements. And the faith statements are not something you have to sign on for, but that tells you a little about what we teach. So I'd like for you to listen now and hear a little more about that from some of our practitioners and leaders. I believe.
I believe.
I believe in one God.
One absolute power and first cause to all things.
I believe that this power is perfect love.
And creates out of a desire to express love.
I believe all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience.
I believe in the unity of all life.
And the immortality of the individual soul.
Forever unfolding.
I believe in the eternal goodness.
The eternal goodness of God.
The eternal loving kindness.
And the eternal givingness of God to all.
And so it is.
And so it is.
And so it is. And so it is. Those are just a few of the people who make up the leadership team of this wonderful organization. It's our board of trustees. It's also made up of our practitioners. And a practitioner is someone who has studied New Thought, has studied this teaching, and absolutely understands it in a way that has changed their lives and has also taught them how to support others in changing their lives. So it's not just about taking care of me. It is about being available to support other people. Today, we're going to hear from one of these wonderful practitioners who I've known for a lot of years, and I'm so glad she's part of us now. She's a part of our board. She's also a practitioner, and she lives in St. Petersburg. How cool is that? So, Norma Roberts, take it away.
Good morning to all of you. We'll continue to talk about our emotions. And you know, recently, I read an article, Unforgiveness is a heavy bag of rocks I carry on my shoulder. When I drop the bag and begin to set the rocks aside one by one, I embark upon a healing journey. But I'm going to change that word unforgiveness to anger, because this week we're talking about anger. An article written by Mwenda of Kenya states, "Where does suffering come from? Is it from your ego mind and the stories you're telling yourself and choosing to believe? Isn't it from your reactions to events and people and how you choose to perceive them, the meaning you attach to these things? The drama is only in your mind, and the battles are only within yourself. Peace, joy, and love are an inside job. No one can ever irritate you, annoy you, or offend you without your permission. All disturbances is within, never without. Regardless of whatever anyone does or says, it is your own reaction and response that upsets you or disturbs you. Events in and of themselves are neutral. It is the meanings we attach to them and cause our misery and perpetual suffering. Our perceptions are our suffering. The real self is the pure essence within, always undisturbed, always perfect, always complete, always the great eternal silence and secure. It is divine love. The next time someone insults you or says something rude to you, you can watch them and witness them through their loving compassion, through loving compassion and understanding, and then notice their ego. Send them love instead of reacting from the same place they are. You see what they are doing and you understand it. Your thoughts and feeling about the other person is an effect you have set in motion, for you are the only thinker in your world, and your thoughts and feelings are creative. Anger is a feeling, and feelings can change. The April 25th article of the Daily Word states, I may not be able to choose the way people communicate with me, but I am always free to choose my reaction to the words and actions of others. Because no one can make me feel or respond in a certain way. This understanding is at the heart of living freely. I am free to be generous and compassionate with others. I'm free to give generously of myself. I'm even free to walk away. Even if something happens that causes a flash of anger or irritation, I am free to pause, take a deep breath, and turn within before I respond. My aim always is to share the best of me in all situations and with all people. I have complete freedom to give my voice to my inner spiritual nature in all that I say and all that I do. I choose to respond with love and with kindness. In Proverbs 16:32, we find, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. This I thought was really great for dealing with anger. So now let's just pause, take a deep breath, and go into our morning treatment. Accept as much of this as you possibly can for yourself and just let the rest just drop away. As we know, this is the day the divine has made, and I rejoice in it. For I know God is all there is. God's life holds the universe in right and perfect order. I know as I take each breath, I am one with the everlasting life of God. I recognize this radiant life flows through me, out picturing as me, and right now manifests in divine order as my experience. God's perfect order is unfolding through me and every circumstance of my life. I accept myself as being the divine brought to expression. With ease, grace, divine order manifests by blessing me, lifting me, and bringing forth good. God moves through my body to harmonize, heal, and to strengthen me. God moves through my heart to uplift, to cleanse, and to purify me. God moves through my life to prosper, to satisfy, and to bless me. God moves through my thoughts to collect them in spiritual order and strength, revealing my true purpose and clarifying my vision. I now believe, accept, and declare. The perfection of God directs my every thought and activity. I give great thanks as God expresses through me according to my highest good. I give my whole being, spirit, mind, and body to the power of God. I let go. I let God form in me the perfect receiving consciousness. I willingly let God do the transforming work within me, and my consciousness is lifted. I am open, humble, receptive, flexible, and ready to do what is mine to do. I release this word to divine and watch the perfect manifestation as any experience. As together, you say, and so it is.
So peace is something very powerful and very important. And it's in the very nature and present within each one of us. That's part of what we're talking about today. But before we get to that, I wanted to talk a little bit about emotions. As you know, this entire month, we've been looking at emotions. And we've been looking at them, sort of splitting them apart. I'm not sure you can, but we're doing it for the sake of discussion. And this week we're looking at anger, not people's favorite feeling, and yet one we all participate in quite frequently, I suspect. You know, there are two feelings that really trigger and get us moving in terms of our fight, flight, freeze response. That's that physical response within us that we have no control over. It just goes. It's just automatic. It goes all the way back to our millions of years of evolution, where we have learned in order to survive to take quick action. And those two feelings are fear and anger. We talked about fear a couple of weeks ago. Today, we're going to talk a little more about anger. One of the things that happens with that fight, flight, freeze response, and I am here lately, there's been more study and there's a whole bunch more of them, but those are the three I'm most familiar with. And that's the get in there and fight or to run. And the freeze one is kind of fun. It's what possums do. If you've ever been around a possum, or you scare them and they'll fall over dead and you think you've killed them, and you haven't, they just freeze. I think goats do that too, to some extent. And, you know, they have no control over that. They don't sit down and think, well, let's see, should I freeze this time? No, they just do it. And the same thing happens to within us and in our human physical experiences of life, where these automatic systems are built in. We've developed them over, like I said, a very long time, and they kick in. You know, when you hit the anger, what happens? You know what happens. All of the enzymes kick in appropriately for that one moment where suddenly, instead of running, you may have the anger to fight, or where your heart races, it speeds up. All of the blood begins to move. Instead of going inward to your vital organs, it comes out and concentrates more in your arms and legs and those parts of your body that allow you to be mobile and allow you to move and allow you to get going and do things. And then the blood shifts back to the inner organs and the inner parts of us, where there is a greater calm, and where they still need to be nurtured in between. That's why we can do those major things with adrenaline, where you hear about people picking up cars and doing all sorts of things because of the energy that kicks in of anger. What I'd suggest to you today is that anger, while it gets lots of bum raps and it has lots of negative ideas around it and negative experiences connected to it, is really just an energy. It's like all of the other emotions. It's an emotional energy that allows you to perhaps do what you couldn't do. It motivates you to move faster. It motivates you to say what you need to say. When you've been, you know how that goes? You're in a relationship and you haven't said anything. You kind of put up with stuff and you put up with stuff and put up with stuff and put up with stuff. And then suddenly the anger kicks in and you speak. It may not be pleasant the way you do it. It may not be helpful the way you do it, but at least there's some relief because you've got the words out. See, I think anger does that. I think anger gives us the energy and power to take care of what we need to take care of. And it does it in a way that can be very helpful and very useful, but it can also get in the way. It can also be a very problematic kind of thing, especially if you have never learned appropriate ways to handle your anger or to express your anger. And if you've had experiences where your anger was shut off or shut down or you were shamed for it, then you reach that place in adulthood where the anger may be there and it may be pumping all the blood out to your muscles and it may be having you ready to fight or fly or flee. Fly. Yeah. But it doesn't get any expression, so it just stays bottled up. We know that one of the best ways to help energy and to help emotion move through us is by breath, is breathing. Breathing. And what do you do when you get mad? You hold your breath. Often, you know, we shut it down and our anger just emotes and it comes up and other people feel it, whether we are saying it out loud or expressing it or not. It's there and they notice it. I thought it was a compliment back when I was in my 40s and was doing a doctorate at Emory. And I really thought, you know, I got elected to be on the academic committee as the student representative to the doctoral program there. And I was so pleased with myself. Went to the first meeting. I came back with a long report about what all had been going on. You know, and one of my friends finally told me, he said, well, you know why we elected you to that position, right? Because you're hypervigilant. You are always watching for the next thing that's going to happen, so that you can watch out and be sure where everybody's safe and you're safe and nobody does something they shouldn't, you blah, 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 blah. Which is another way that anger that is buried in us and keeps churning becomes really strong and important. And it served me well for a long time, but then finally it's like, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of being the hypervigilant, angry one. So I begin to do work to get rid of it and to release it. You know, the other thing that's happening to all of us right now, talk about the eye of the storm, is that we live in a world of social media. I mean, I walk around with my cell phone in my hand, especially down here in Mexico, because I'm using Google Translator to talk to people and finding that to be a wonderful gift. But at the same time, while that is there, there are also all of these nudges, these little invitations from YouTube and Google and all these other places that are our social media. And you know, the two words you never heard until a few years ago is clickbait. You know, clickbait. Who ever heard of clickbait? That's the weirdest thing in the world. I know about fish bait. I know about baiting people to get them to, you know, to egg them on. But clickbait. Well, clickbait, as you know very well, is that which will get you to click on something so that you look at it, a video or a voicemail or a YouTube or anything you know, all over the place. Every kind of communication device and platform has clickbait, where there's a big phrase in order to get you to look at it. And what we know from studying is that, and looking at all this, is that the two things that will get the strongest response are fear and anger. So much of what we're bombarded with now, invited into, watch and participate in, are fear and anger. Take a look at this. You might be interested in this. I got really upset last night because I saw a quick message that said someone had died. And I was like, oh my gosh, what? But then when I looked at it more closely, it turned out they're not dead. But one of their cousins died. But the headline said they had died. Clickbait. It immediately touched my fear that, oh my gosh, they're not with us anymore. And I went right to it. So we are constantly being bombarded with that. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm saying it is something really important, though, that we modern humans living in time and space on this planet have got to deal with. And we have to find ways to deal with it and to be in it. See, we are more than physical beings. And there is more to anger than what there appears to be. Our message today, our affirmation today, says this. The center of anger, there is calm. Yeah, right, huh? See, what we know is that peace or calm is a natural given part of our consciousness. It's not something we have to create. It's not something we have to make up or manufacture in any way. It is a natural part of who we are, and it's always present. It's always within us. It's always here. Even in our moments of greatest anger, rage, whatever. And what our teaching is all about, and what we are inviting you to, it's part of this, is working to learn to activate that peace, regardless of what's going on around you, regardless of what's happening, and regardless of how sad or angry or afraid you may be. See, this teaching is all about living from the inside out rather than the outside in. Living from the outside in means I'm always reacting to what they say or they're doing or somebody out there is doing something. And so I react to it and I act as if that's the source of my power is what's out there. Whereas living from the inside out is starting from in here and saying, oh, look, that's what's happening out there. I'm going to choose to respond to it, not react to it. I'm going to choose a different way to be, a different way to respond. You know, one of the things about strong emotions like anger and fear is that they can override our thinking. That's part of the point of the enzymes that kick off in our bodies when we go into a strong anger reaction is it shuts off our thinking brain. And because it's preparing us to do what we need to do to survive. And we have to learn to take a breath. We have to find these waves of peace within us that are there underneath that storm of chaos, of anger, of fear, of frustration, and of all of that. And Norma spoke to it, and it's absolutely right. And it's those moments where you find interrupting strategies, where you have a strategy that allows you just to take a breath. When I was a kid growing up, people were saying, you need to learn to count to 10 before you speak. Engage your brain before your tongue. Before you put your mouth in gear. And you do that by taking a breath, by counting to 10, by giving yourself time before you react to allow your mind to kick in and allow you to respond and choose how to respond. And we all have varying degrees of that. One of my friends is listening to this today. I didn't do that very well yesterday. I reacted. I didn't take a breath and respond to what was simply an effort to give me help and to offer a suggestion of help. I reacted. I went into fight flight. I didn't want it. Didn't like it. And kind of messed up the rest of the evening, although fortunately, there was forgiveness there, I think. I know. So we do interrupting strategies. We breathe. Take a focus. Take a moment and remember who you are. I am a divine expression of the infinite. I am life expressing in a beautiful, wonderful way. Helen Street was one of my favorite ministers from a previous era. And often spoke in Atlanta. I also saw her speaking all around. But one of my favorite things that she would do is she'd say, you know, when you encounter something like this that's just thrown you off or you don't know what's going on, just stomp your foot and say, I demand, there's good here and I demand to see it. Now, Emma Curtis Hopkins started that, but she absolutely took it to the biggest, loudest, greatest way because she had special names for her, the infinite. for her that made sense. It worked. Big Sweetie. The Cosmic Sugar Daddy was one of them. Whatever images of the infinite, whatever images of this power work for you that can help you come back to your center, come back to that place where there may be calm, where there is peace, where peace can be awakened and activated, and you can make a choice about where you want to go and how you want to be. See, that moment of peace that allows us to choose how we're going to respond rather than just be caught up in it. I love the Old Testament phrase, Old Testament Jewish scripture. Some trust in horses, some trust in chariots. As for me and my house, we will trust the law. The translation of Lord, we will trust the Lord. We will trust the infinite power within us, within life, to be that source of power and place for good and for all good. Rather than trusting external things to fix things for us, we dive in to what's inside. Emma Curtis Hopkins is one of the master teachers of this. She was the teacher who taught Ernest Holmes, among many others. She said, as you choose, you experience great peace. There is no turmoil in spirit. If there is turmoil in your life, it's a signal that you've tried to believe in two things. That's interesting. Try to believe in two things. I can believe that I live in a spiritual universe that is all good and that brings my life into fullness and to greatness and to goodness. And then as happened today, this morning, I woke up to no water in the apartment. No shower. Aren't you glad we're on the internet? No, none of that other kind of immediate ease that comes with what I've become very accustomed to, which is to turn the spigot and water pours out. Now, it'll be fixed in a little bit. But for that moment, I wasn't feeling my good. I was feeling my desire for a shower. And so for a moment, there was turmoil. But it went away quickly because I realized I'm fine. You know, very few years ago, in the scheme of things, there was no showers every day. If you got a bath once a month, you were doing well. So you let go of this idea of two things. I can both be held back or interfered with, and I live in a friendly, user-friendly universe. So you let go of the two-ness and come back to the oneness. And this is a teaching about oneness. Emma says it in the quote you just saw on the screen. I don't believe in a mix of good and evil. I believe in only omnipresent good. Omnipresent means everywhere present. It can never not be there. Yeah. See, and only good, therefore, rules in and with my life. Those are big, loud statements when you think about it. Only good rules in my life. I only believe in good. Well, what about all the terrible things that are going on out there in the world? Well, if you pay close attention to all of them, you can see where it's different people, different systems, different organizational ways of thinking and doing things, simply believing that their good is the best good and not necessarily mixing and matching. I mean, there are a whole lot of ways that we can study and look at those things. And that's what this teaching does. We look at all kinds of discordant issues and we talk about them and we bring them forward. And as we do that, it's to an end of finding the peace, finding the unity, finding the oneness, finding the truth in those. And we get far more interested in the oneness of peace, of love, of the choice for all of those than we do in what's wrong and how to articulate and pull that apart. And while those things are important and we pay attention to them and we learn from them, there is a great power in not letting them dominate everything. You know what I'm talking about. Certain religious groups believe far more in what's wrong with the world than what's right with the world. We're all about what's right with the world, what's right with your world, what can be right with your world, and finding those keys, those clues to shifting out of turmoil, out of the storm, to perpetually stepping into the eye of the storm, into that quiet, peaceful place. I grew up in Florida. Hurricanes were something I experienced several times in my childhood, in my young adulthood. And I remember asking my mother once whenever we were going through one of those. So now that we're in the eye of the hurricane and it's very calm and quiet, why don't we just jump in the car and just drive along with it, and we'll stay in it. And she laughed, of course. Well, you know, we're not real sure where it's going or where it's going to be next. And it actually was headed out towards the Gulf, so we would have to drive off into the water in order to stay in it. And eventually, like it or not, we'd hit the other side of the storm. Whereas the truth is, within each of us, there is an I. There is an I, both the letter I, the I am, the power that God is within each of us, that can always walk us through whatever the winds are, whatever the storm, whatever the turmoil. You know, we talk about principle. We talk about what this power is and how it works. And the idea here is that it is one power, not two. And it's a power for good. One of my favorite phrases is that there's a power for good in the universe, and you can use it. I can use it. I can use it by believing in it. See, that's how we shift it. We shift out of this belief that the apparent dualities all around us, the apparent turmoil of two different things and two different belief systems and two different powers and two different conflicting, whatever the conflict is, that is the ultimate truth, which is why we don't talk about evil having it being a power. Evil is just a misunderstanding and misexpression of the use of good and the way to use it. So we live in a universe of oneness. It is everywhere present all the time. That's the omnipresence of peace. And it responds to us according to our beliefs. So if you believe you live in this powerful place where peace prevails, where good is your expression, wow, that's what will be your experience. I've had some wonderful experiences since coming down here because I absolutely believed that this journey, this trip, was a bit of a pilgrimage for my own deeper expression and deeper learning. And I have had amazing exchanges with various people since I left Atlanta and since I got down here. Oh, well, not only since I did, but on my way down. Some wonderful opportunities just to speak my truth and to hear some other people's ideas and really listen deeply. See, the oneness that we are all about expressing is all about the goodness of life. And the question, of course, is how much can I have of that goodness? Well, you can have as much as you can believe in, as much as you can embrace, and embrace in consciousness, embrace in belief systems, not embrace with your hands getting and grabbing, but embrace by believing in it. You know, there's as much life, as much love, as much peace, as much light, as much joy, as much beauty, as much power. Yeah. As much as you can believe in is available to you. Our center is all about supporting one another in increasing that belief, increasing that faith, and coming to a place where we are really helping one another in getting to that space, not by avoiding anything out there or trying to pretend things aren't real. That's not what we're about. But we look at every reality through the lens and through the eyes of oneness and say, how is this something? There's good here and I demand to see it. So I want to invite you to join us. Join us on these broadcasts. Join us in the classes that we'll be offering soon. Join us in whatever way makes sense to you to become a part of our community. Because the door is open. You're invited to come and be part of this. And I close with the opening phrase, the opening poem from our Science of Mind textbook, which says, "Peace unto thee, stranger. Enter and be not afraid. There is room in my house for all. Sit, rest, and refresh your soul." By our founder, Ernest Holmes. You deserve that because you're wonderful. So am I, and so it is. Thank you. And now we'll hear from Vance.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Bob. That wonderful talk. How we're thinking and then acting changes our life. So I'm here to talk about sharing what we've got, our abundance, continuing to spread this message out into the world, to be local and to be global, which is what we are. And so if you would now with me say our affirmation of prosperity, I live in a universe of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow, and all that I share with life returns to me multiplied abundantly. And so it is. And you can use the QR code or go to www.cslmidtown.org/donate and set up a one-time donation or an ongoing giving contribution, whatever works for you. Thanks. And on to affirmations or announcements. There we go.
So another day. I hope you've found something meaningful and powerful in this for you. I certainly have. I always do. I speak what I need to hear as much as I do what I think others do. So thank you for being with us. Thank you. Next week, we will continue with our online only Sundays. And then the first Sunday of June, we will be back into our hybrid, which will be in person in Atlanta and at this same address on the internet. So I invite you to continue to come with us as we do this. So that's about it for today. And join me, if you will, in our closing affirmation of life. I leave this place now knowing something better than I knew before. I go forth into the world with a heart full of love and a mind full of good sense. I look at the world in a greater way, knowing that I have within me everything I need to create the life I desire. I give thanks for this understanding. I am grateful for the spirit of life that lives through me. And so it is. Bye-bye.